Radha Kundam Girivadam Mahoradika Madhavasam Prapto Yashipratita Kripaya Shigurum Tamnatosmi Ajanulam Bhuto Bhujo Kanakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Anarpita Chirim Chirat Karuna Avatirnakalo Samarpaitam Anujvala Rasam Swabhakti Shriyam Hari Purata Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuratuva Sachinandanaha Utama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachi Adile Kakola Kahe Premananda Emana Goranga Ridoya Dariya Bola Vajra Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Bolo Vajra Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Chejana Goranga Bhaje Sehoyamara Pranare Chejana Goranga Bhaje Sehoyamara Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bolo Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yasyaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya Prima Vidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Risheyustat Priya Janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Braja Balabha Pahimam Vancha Kalpadarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pasanjaham Maho Nityam Paraparada Dharmakaha Kshamashramam Hare Radhe Dehi me sadhu dharmakam. I am an offender. To offend others is my nature. So we're praying, O Shrimati Radharani, Kshamashramam Hare Radha, Dehi me sadhu dharmakam. Please forgive me. Please make me into a saintly devotee. Durgame patimendasya skalat pada gatir mahu svakripa yastidanena Santa Santavalambanam. My path is very difficult. I'm blind. And my feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, we pray to all the saintly devotees here. You please help me by giving me the stick of your mercy as my only support. So, this evening, we thought we would speak something from the 17th and 19th chapters of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Davagnipan, Krishna swallowing the forest fire. There are actually two separate leelas. We're going to mix them a little together. They're very similar in so many ways. And the purport is also very similar. As we're speaking, we'd like everyone to contemplate the meaning of it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Krishna Samhita, Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai. Paraspara vivadatma davavanirvayankaraha Bhakshito harina sakshad vajadama subartina. He says that the forest fire is very formidable, bhayankara. It's a cause of great fear. And that forest fire, he says, represents the form of quarrel amongst different Vaishnava sampradayas in order to protect the land of Braj. So, as we've been speaking a little bit in some of our classes, Bhaktivinoda has described a purport of the Naimittika Leelas. What is the meaning of Naimittika Leela? We said last night, some of you were there. Is anybody awake who was there last night? What does Naimittika mean? Prabhuji? Temporary or occasional. Nitya means eternal leelas that are always going on in the spiritual world. What are some of his Naimittika leelas? His Janma leela. There's no birth in the spiritual world, but there's birth in his Naimittika leelas. Killing the demons is another Naimittika leela. Srila Jiva Goswami describes that actually the Naimittika leelas are more relishable for Krishna than the Nitya leelas. And these Nitya leelas, while they're eternal fact, and they happen again and again in different ways, so in that sense they're Nitya themselves, they also represent some allegory. Although, as we say, they are historical fact. They represent different obstacles in our devotion, in our journey to the land of Braj. So this particular obstacle represents sectarianism, and as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says, Dhavanalapan parasparavad sampradaya vidvesha anya deva dira vidvesha yuda ityadi sangarshamatre dhavanala. He says that any type of conflict, such as argument, disagreement with other sampradayas, malice to the devatas, and fighting are represented by the forest fire. So my dear devotees, tonight, let's go to Vrindavan. And let's be there and try to witness through the eyes of our ears Krishna's pastime, the swallowing this forest fire. And let's try to contemplate some of the purport of it. This is a very big leela. We spoke on this, I think, for 5 days before in India this year. We're going to try to do everything just in one night tonight. We have to understand the nature of this movement. This is not a religion in the sense that most people think of religion as some institutional, formal, and sectarian group. Srila Prabhupada has described in many different places our purpose. We read some of these comments last night. Prabhupada saying that we're not here to make money. Our only purpose is to make people happy. We want to give everyone Krishna. Prabhupada wrote in a letter to Roland Michener, He was the Governor General of Canada in 1968. Letter I find very significant. Please listen. ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is a non-lucrative organization whose purpose is to promote the well-being of human society by drawing its attention to God. We are a non-sectarian society. And our members include people from Christian, Jewish, and Muslim, as well as Hindu faiths. Srila Prabhupada, when he began, he was taking help from some of his godbrothers and some of the disciples of his godbrothers. So not just Hindu faiths, but also other members of the family of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Prabhupada said, "The aim of ISKCON is not to found a new religious sect, but to invoke the living entity's dormant love of God and thus provide the human society of all faiths with a common platform of clear theistic knowledge and practice. Members of ISKCON may retain, they can keep, their own respective religious faiths, as ISKCON is meant to establish a clear, practical, common formulation of the common ideal of all theists and to defeat the unnecessary dogmatic wranglings that now divide and invalidate the theistic camp. The common ideal of theism is to develop love of God." It's an interesting point Prabhupada makes here. He says that this unnecessary dogmatic wranglings, this is the type of quarrel that goes on between theists, between believers in God, their dogmatic quarrels over petty little things of dogma, over rituals and little details. And Prabhupada describes them, unnecessary dogmatic wranglings that now divide and invalidate the theistic camp. If we're really theists, if we really believe in God, if God is really there for everyone, then why should we quarrel with Muslims or with Christians or with Hindus or members of Gaudiya Mutt or Babaji's or other persons? Why should there be quarrel between devotees of the Lord? We may have different moods. Some devotees see Krishna as Yashodanandan, the son of Mother Yashoda. Other devotees see him as Gopijana Vallabha, the beloved of the gopis. And still others see him as the killer of Kamsa or Putana, or the creator of the universe. And none of them are incorrect. They're all correct. Why should we quarrel over such things? And Srila Prabhupada, he describes in many different places. In Nectar Devotion, he says, "There are many societies and associations of pure devotees. And if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid." So this sectarianism, in the form of a forest fire, threatens to divide the residents of Vrindavan, threatens to separate them from Braj and separate them from Krishna. So this is a very terrible obstacle in our bhakti. And by hearing about this pastime, it can help to give us some strength to overcome this, to see it in our own life, because this is an obstacle that comes to everyone. In the 15th and 16th chapters of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, some description is given of Kaliya Damana Leela. And it's appropriate to speak about Kaliya when we speak about Devadnipan Leela. Kaliya, as described by some of our acharyas, was a friend of the forest fire. What does the word Kaliya mean? Does anybody know? Kaliya iti kala iya. Kala means black. Kala means night. Kala means iron. Kala means criticism and fault finding. Iya, the suffix iya, means something which belongs to. For example, Gaudiya means someone who belongs to Gaudadesh. So Kaliya is someone who has, who retains all these different qualities. And he represents malice and fault finding, which threaten to poison the life of Braj, which is the Jamuna River. And Krishna comes and drives Kaliya out. It's a very long, wonderful pastime, one of our favorite pastimes in the Bhagavatam. But that's not our discussion tonight. After Krishna subdued Kaliya, and he drove him out of Braj, very interesting, our Acharya's comment, I have to say this much, that it's not Krishna who kills the demons in Braj, but it's Vasudev Krishna. But there's two exceptions. And one is Kaliya. Kaliya is directly driven out by Krishna himself. And why that is, many different reasons are there. One reason is that this was all going on while there was some mutual glances being exchanged between a young boy and some girls in Braj. This is known as Purvarag, between Krishna and the gopis, and they were glancing out of the corner of their eyes at each other, but they hadn't yet met. And they were feeling very unfortunate because the gopis were never given time to sit and look at Krishna to their heart's delight. So Krishna arranged this pastime so that the gopis could look at him. And Sanatana Goswami says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Krishna began dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, he brought the gopis with him on the hoods of Kaliya, and they began to do a Rasleela. Very amazing thing. So this was the purpose and why Krishna himself subdued Kaliya. So then Krishna drove Kaliya out of Braj. And at that time, all the Brijbasis were there by the side of the Jamuna. There's two pastimes in Braj Leela which have some similarities, and these are Govardhan Dhara Leela, Krishna's pastime of holding up Govardhan for 7 days, and Kaliya Damana Leela. The similarity is that all the residents of Braj were present for both of these pastimes, and it was a mixture of rasas. Krishna, during the Govardhan Dhara Leela, he was smiling at Mother Yashoda. She was feeding him with her hand. "You must be very hungry. You've been holding up this hill for so long." Nanda Maharaj was taking his stick. "It's okay, Krishna. You can put your hand down. I'll hold it up some." And the gopis were looking at Krishna. Sometimes Krishna was glancing and he was seeing their breasts, and he became very embarrassed because Balaram was there, and he thought Balaram might have seen what he was looking at. And he was also smiling at the young boys there, and he was reciprocating with everyone. Similarly, in Kaliya Damana Leela, Krishna reciprocated with all the residents of Vrindavan. It's described that after that pastime had taken place and Kaliya had left, at that time, Tamratrim Tatarajendra Kshutribhyam Shamakarshitaha Usur Brayakasoghava Kalindya Upakulataha. Very significant point. He's saying that the residents of Vrindavan were feeling very weak from hunger, thirst and fatigue. So they and the cows spent the night where they were, laying down near the bank of the Kalindi. And we spoke about this last night when we talked about the wives of the Vedic Brahmins and how the boys were hungry and how the Bhagavatam says that pure devotees never become hungry or tired or thirsty, but the boys did. And we described how the boys were apparently hungry. They weren't really hungry. They were worried about Krishna and Balaram. They thought, "Oh, Krishna and Balaram must be very hungry. But if we tell them we should get some food for you, they won't want to do it. But they love us so much. If we tell them that we're hungry and tired, then certainly they'll want to get some food for us." So the residents of Vrindavan, we can understand, they were more concerned about Krishna. And they were acting like they were tired because they were afraid that Krishna must be very tired. He fought with this big snake, and he was dancing on the hoods of the snake for so long. Krishna must be completely exhausted. Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu says that there was no food available that night. There were many cows there, and the Brijbasis could have milked the cows to give Krishna some milk, but they didn't want to do that because they were afraid that the milk might have been poisoned by Kaliya. So they didn't want to offer that to Krishna. In text 21, it said, "Tada suchivanod bhuto davagni sarvato brajam suptam nishita abritcha padadgum upachakrame." That night, while all the residents of Vrindavan were asleep, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. That fire surrounded all the inhabitants of Vrindavan on all sides and began to scorch them. Kavi Karnapurna is Ananda Vrindavan Champu, says that when they took rest that night, there were a number of circles. In the middle circle was Krishna with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and Balaram. And then there was a circle of gopis, young gopis around them. And then next there were the parents. And then there were the cows. And then there were the guards of Braj. And that night, the gopis and Krishna were exchanging glances. And much to Chandravali and Bhadra's unhappiness, they saw that Krishna was especially exchanging glances with Srimati Radharani. And so all the other residents of Vrindavan had fallen asleep, but the gopis had stayed awake, and they were speaking amongst themselves about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, when suddenly they saw this terrible forest fire. And it was the gopis who began to call out a warning. In Gopal Champo, Jiva Goswami says that Kamsa had been informed by his spies about the defeat of Kaliya. And so he sent some of his followers there to light a fire. And Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Vaishnava Toshini, as well as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary, say that perhaps the fire was a loyal friend of Kaliya's who had taken that form, or maybe it was a demon who was sent by Kamsa. Mm-hmm. In any case, that fire began to trouble the residents of Vrindavan very badly. Nanda Kishore Goswami, in his book Vrindavan Lilamrita, he describes the reaction of the Brijbasis. This harmonium is a little difficult. Krishna raksha hetu nanda vagya hoya ati snehe pari puna mana kande yasomati bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Krishna raksha hetu nanda Bhagra Hoya Ati. Nanda Maharaj became full of anxiety. How can I protect Krishna? Krishna Raksha Hetu. While Snehe Paripurnamana Kande Yasomati, Mother Yashoda began to cry out of love, out of fear for her son. Narayana Stane Rani Koraye Pratana Raksha Koro Prabhu Krishna Braja Pranadana. At that time, Yashoda Rani, Mother Yashoda, began to pray to Lord Narayan. Oh, dear Lord, please save my Krishna, who is the master of Braj. Musabara prana joka tate nahi bai Krishna prati jena kona vyahiti na hoy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Musabara prana joka tate nahi bai. We can die. We're not afraid. Mother Yashoda prayed to Lord Narayan, but Krishna prati jena kona vyahiti na hoy. Please don't let anything happen to Krishna. Tabe uti bhaya pana braja basi gan yaya mana hoya nila Krishna rasaran. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
At that time, the Brijbasis, being panic-stricken, they took shelter of Krishna. A similar thing is described in the 17th chapter of the 10th canto. And in his Lagu Vaishnava Toshini, Jiva Goswami says that they were taking shelter of Krishna not because they thought he was God. Mother Yashoda is praying to Lord Narayan, "Dear God, please protect my Gopal." Not because they were thinking of Krishna as Bhagavan, but because they knew the strength of Krishna, something about the strength of Krishna. And they were praying, "You please save us." Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Paramakaruna, Amita Vikrama, Balarama, Chandrasuna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
called out twice, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. This is also a similar verse in the 17th chapter, the 10th canto, where they called out twice, Krishna, Krishna. They addressed him as Mahabhaga. What does Mahabhaga mean? The most fortunate person. And they addressed him as Parama Karuna, most merciful. We can understand why they addressed him as Parama Karuna. You're very kind. Please save us from this forest fire. But why are they addressing him as Mahabhaga? Because they know Krishna loves the Brijbasis like anything. You're very fortunate, Krishna, to have such wonderful friends, such wonderful relatives here. And you're Paramakaruna. So, Amita Vikrama Balaram Chandrasuna. You please hear us, you and Balaram. Brajabasi Mata Shabba Amara Toma Goratara Vyani Grasa Kore Musabha Hare Krishna. Brajabasi Mata Shabba. All we are is Brijbasis. We don't know anything else. We only know our connection with you. We're not going to try to fight against this forest fire on our own. We belong to you. Saba Amara Tomar. We're all yours. And this terrible forest fire is coming and swallowing us. Ata eva sudustara davana lahoite nijabandhu gane raksha karaho dvarite Hare Krishna. We're all nijabandhu gana. We're all your dear friends. So you should save us from this terrible fire. Mrityu rupa vani hoite kichu nahi bhai tomara charane jena bicheda na hoy Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Hare
Mrityu rupa vani hoite kichu nahi bhai. We're not afraid of this forest fire. We're not afraid of death. We're afraid of something far more terrible. What is that? What is more terrible than death to the Brijbasis? Tomara charani jena bicheda nahoe. We're afraid of being separated from you. The Bhagavatam describes Sudustaranna swampahi kalagne surida prabho na suknamas twacharanam sankyatum akutobayam. They prayed to Krishna, O Prabhu, we are your own people. Surida Prabhu, we're your friends. We're swan pahi. You please protect us because we're swan. We belong to you. You protect us from this terrible forest fire of death. We can't give up your lotus feet which drive away all fear. In Sarada Darshini Vishwanath says that the Brijbasis, in this verse, they're praying that if we die in this forest fire, then we'll be separated from your lotus feet. We can't tolerate that. Please save us so that we can continue serving you. Because this is the nature of the forest fire. It makes us separated from Krishna. This is the nature of useless quarrel. When we start fighting over really extremely important things like, do you eat chocolate? You do. Oh my God. Maybe he shouldn't be allowed inside the temple. We'll have a big quarrel about chocolate or not chocolate. And meanwhile, we're forgetting all about our service to Krishna. We're becoming separated from that by the forest fire of useless quarrel. And people argue about so many damn things in our society. Useless quarrel. And it disturbs us. It takes us away from the lotus feet of Krishna. When Krishna heard the appeal from his dear devotees, then Krishna called out to the Brijbasis. Sabaniyo dhila chinta nakari amane ki korite pari agni asya ekane Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
don't be afraid, he said. This fire can't do anything here. What does that mean? In Braj, when we're really in Vrindavan, there's no question of the forest fire. It just seems like a big problem, but it's not. Once we read when I was a little boy about a little chicken who was sitting underneath a tree and an acorn fell and hit her on the head. She became very excited. We know people like this sometimes. And she jumped up and started shouting, "The sky is falling! The sky is falling!" Sometimes we're like that. Oh my God, this person, he has a little different understanding from Prabhupada's books than I have about this. Never mind. We're chanting Hare Krishna, things can go on. And in Braj, there's no sectarianism, there's no problem, there's no real danger. He said to them, Sakale chakshu mudiraha hetu munde ekrane koibe dev agnir garva kande Hare Krishna. He said, all of you get down and close your eyes and I'll curb the pride of this fire. It has a purport. Don't see sectarianism. Don't see all these problems and things. Just ignore it. Do your bhajan. Be vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. Be one-pointed. Don't be so focused on little differences amongst everyone. Or, oh my God, it's a big scandal. He's coming to the program and he eats chocolate sometimes. Big scandal. Don't be so concerned about those things. And Krishna said, I'll curb the pride of this fire. This is the nature of sectarianism. Sectarianism is based on pride. It's not something which is based on bhakti. The fruit of bhakti is natural humility. But the fruit of pride is just the opposite. It makes sectarianism. Krishna vakya suni sabe nayana mudiya davanala tapi rahe hinat munda hoya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna vakya suni sabe nayana mudiya. When everyone heard that, they all agreed, they bowed their heads, they closed their eyes. Even though davanala tapi rahi, they were feeling the heat of that fire. Do you ever feel some heat sometimes from useless, stupid quarrels between devotees? And sometimes you feel like, I've just got to say something. I've just got to make a comment on this one on Facebook. Otherwise, maybe the world won't be able to continue if I don't say something about this. It's just so important. It burns. But Krishna is telling them, just close your eyes. Just ignore it. Because it's not reality. And it still burns. We still feel the heat of it. But if we follow Krishna's instructions, then everything will be okay. Krishna Chandra Ananta Achincha Shaktiman Setibra Anala Pana Kwela Sabadan Hare Krishna. At that time, Krishna Chandra, moon-like Krishna, the moon is very cooling, that moon-like Krishna, who's Ananta, Achincha Shaktiman, he's unlimited, he's inconceivable, he has inconceivable power, Satibra Analapana, Kaila Sabadan, he very carefully drank that forest fire, like it was a nice drink. Davagni mokshana kori brajendra nandan sakalera kohe chakshu milaha ekam he Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. After Krishna controlled that forest fire, then Krishna told them, now you open your eyes. This is the nature of the Brijbasis. They depend on Krishna to solve the problems. Because there may be some problems. There was a forest fire. It's not just some imagination. It was a demon, some say, sent by Kamsa, or others say a friend of Kaliya's. It was a very real thing. But in another sense, it wasn't real, because Krishna would protect them. And they should have faith in that and close their eyes to any other solutions. And if we do that and depend on Krishna, then everything will work out. It's not such a big anxiety, not such a big problem. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "Thus they prayed to Krishna, saying that they could not take any shelter other than his lotus feet. Lord Krishna, being compassionate upon his own townspeople, immediately swallowed up the whole forest fire and saved them." Srila Jiva Goswami has written another book called Sankalpa Kalpataru, and he's described another source of this forest fire. Very interesting thing. I'll read it to you. He says, "Yasada dahanam ghoshta premna krishna vivechanaha premnas tasya parikshartam eva drag apibat prabhu." Krishna very quickly swallowed the forest fire that he expertly created. That's a scandal. Sometimes in some countries, somebody, they light a fire in a building and then they apply to the insurance company. Right? So Krishna's the origin of all that. Krishna started the forest fire himself. Why did he do that? Premnas tasya parikshartam. To test the love of the Brijbasis. So sometimes we can also think, there may be some forest fire. The sky's falling. Oh my God, he eats chocolate. It's terrible. We have to have a big argument about this. This is a big, big thing. But it maybe it's just Krishna's test. To see how absorbed are you in your bhajan? How much do you really take shelter of Krishna? How much faith do you have that the holy name will solve everything? Srila Prabhupada, one year he came to the GBC meetings in Mayapur. And Prabhupada told the GBC members, this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. That's our saying for our, our Krishna Kathamrita Bindu magazine. And this is the essence of this Davagni Pan Leela. This chanting should go on. Don't try to solve the problems with your prowess and your expert management and this and that. Depend on Krishna. Nandakishore Goswami describes, Netra prakashya shave deke krishna muka shakalera gila davanala tapa duka Hare Krishna. After they opened their eyes, they saw Krishna's face. So close your eyes to all these problems, and when you open your eyes, you may see something very wonderful. And when they saw Krishna's face, they forgot all about the burning and suffering of the fire. Henai adbhuta lila kori sheishtane premi pari purna mana taha nahi jane Hare Krishna. Krishna performed this astonishing pastime at this place known as Davanala Kund, which is just off the Parikrama Marg in Vrindavan. And he says that prema paripurna mana taha nahi jani. This pastime is full of great prema, and it can't be understood with the mind. The same mind that we try to use to get in quarrels with people, the same mind that we depend on to defeat opposition and defeat all the different problems that we think are in the world. So this is the first forest fire. The second forest fire took place after Palumba Suravad. And that again is another wonderful description about Palumba Sura, which this should also be discussed with it, but our time's a little short. We're just going to touch on a few points of it. It says that this takes place in the 19th chapter, the 10th canto. And that one morning, the boys, they'd gone to Bandiravan. Jiva Goswami gives a wonderful description of their activities that day in his Gopal Champu. Bandhirastarani padam samuntadhirna prayata param hyakintu vistritischa tachchaka pari viharanavaro pare kalinja mohu abhyati gopa sangaha. He says there was a tree in Bandhiravan that the boys used to go to play at. Today we have Disney World. It's like a tirtha. Everybody wants to go and at least once in their life and offer obeisances to that place. And the children, they go there to play. But the boys, they had a natural Disney World in Bandhiravan. There was a huge banyan tree, which was so big, the banyan tree was extending its branches from one side of the Jamuna to the others. And it was like a bridge. And the boys, they would use that banyan tree to cross over the Jamuna. And they would go back and forth from side to side. Kvachit sadma basa prakata balavat kotara gattaha Kvachit palyankaba patita pritushaka sukattamaha Kvachit dolatulya gratita latika palivalitaha Sadaso bandhira kamiva ahari kelim natanute. In one place in that tree, there was a hollow area like a palace. And you could climb up different levels inside of that tree and come out in different places. And another place, there was a beautiful branch which was very broad and soft, like a couch. And the boys, they would sit on that thing and hang their feet over the water. And another place, there was a vine-covered branch that was just like a swing. And they would use that swing and drop into the Jamuna River. That Kadamba tree, that banyan tree there in Bandhiravan was a wonderful playground for Krishna and the boys. So that day they had gone there, they were playing there, and while they were playing, they were completely absorbed in playing with Krishna. The cows began to wander away. They were very hungry for more grass because they didn't have any. And no one was watching them, so they entered into a dense forest. Now this pastime also has some further allegories that we can offer. Cow in Sanskrit is go. Go also means the senses. If we don't watch the cows, as the boys weren't watching the cows, if we don't watch our senses will wander away and they'll look for fresh grass. Oh, this will be really nice. We'll go to the shopping mall. Yes. It's very good. It's like heaven. And we'll be able to enjoy so much, and we become very confused and disturbed when we go there. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, he says, the cows, being unobserved, began to wander off on their own, entering further and further into the deepest part of the forest, allured by fresh grasses. So we're looking for the fresh grass of sense gratification. It's described then that Krishna, he noticed, and the boys, they noticed, that the cows had wandered away. In this section of the Bhagavatam, it's also interesting, it's described that it wasn't just cows, there were also buffalo, and there were goats. Krishna has a number of different animals in Braj, not just the cows. The cows are his favorite. So he says that when they saw that the cows were gone, Krishna and the boys, they repented for neglecting them, and they began to search everywhere, but they couldn't find the cows. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when searching out the cows in the forest, they themselves became very tired and thirsty. Soon, however, they heard the crying of their cows. Krishna began then, at that time, to call the cows by their respective names with great noise. And when the cows heard Krishna calling, they immediately replied with great joy. So, in a similar way, our senses cause us to go looking for sense gratification, and sometimes we leave Krishna. And then Krishna, very kindly, he arranges for us to get really smashed and really suffer. Really, I remember one of my godbrothers. He fell in love. Beautiful devotee girl, very nice. And he was so happy. And he asked Guru Maharaj, yes, you can marry her. And then later in the class, Guru Maharaj told him, she's going to make you cry, Baba. And she did. That's another story. But he was so hopeful. We have so much hope. So, in that kind of situation, Krishna is very kind, and he gives us a good kick, And then we begin to cry. And at that time, then Krishna very quickly comes. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Devotion, and this is a very sweet thing. He says that when there was a forest fire, all of Krishna's friends neglected their own protection, and they all surrounded Krishna on all sides to protect Krishna from the flames. Don't worry, Krishna. We're here. They all said like that. This is the nature of the devotees. They don't care for their own welfare. In Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira, He Rama, Moga, Vikrama, Devagnina, Dayamanan, Prapanam, Stratum, Ardata. They begin to call it, oh, hey, Krishna, Krishna, O Rama, please save your devotees. We're surrounded by this forest fire. Nunam Twad Bandavan Krishna. Hey Krishna, we're your bandhu, we're your friends. We shouldn't be destroyed. What does it mean? Because if we're destroyed, people will criticize you. They'll say Krishna didn't protect his friends, Krishna didn't protect his devotees. They don't mind. Let us burn to death. We don't mind. We're not afraid of the fire. But there's something worse if our Krishna becomes criticized. This is very, very terrible. So Krishna, we're souls surrendered to you. You should please protect us. Krishna began to follow the marks of the cows in the path. Jiva Goswami says, he climbed on a high bank, and then Krishna took his yellow cloth, and he began to wave the cloth, called out very loudly for the cows. And those cows became very ecstatic, and they started running to Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, at that time, some assistants of Kamsa, seeing that Pralamba had been killed, they took that opportunity and they started a terrible fire with evil mantras all around Krishna and the boys. At that time, Krishna became very angry when he heard the boys' prayers, and he thought to himself, that these boys are dearer to me than my own self. And seeing this forest fire, they become frightened. So I'm going to do something that even Yamaraj and Lord Shiva can't do. I'm going to swallow the fire. Krishna entered the fire and he told the boys, this is described by Duki Shamdas in Govinda Mangal. Agni madhye namarive shuna sishugan Narasingha japamane mudiya nayan hey Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Krishna told the boys, Sunu sishugan, listen to me. You won't die in this fire, don't worry. Narasingha japamane mudiya nayan. You close your eyes and chant the Sringa mantra. Kore aksha janpe chabe Narasingha jape Agnipana koila prabhu dhari Vishwarupe Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
So Dugi Shamdas says everybody closed their eyes and they all began to meditate on the Sringadev. And then Krishna took the form of Vishwarup and he drank the fire. And some of our acharyas say something a little different. They say that some of the boys were wondering, why is Krishna telling us to close our eyes? Even some of them protested. What are you telling us? Come on. You want us to close our eyes? How is that going to solve any problem? Another boy said, no, it's okay. Krishna knows some secret mantras. And mudras. And when you're using a secret mantra, it has to be done with your eyes closed. No one else can see it. Other acharyas give another reason. Krishna was thinking to himself, last time when we were on the bank of the Jamuna with the boys at Brahmanda Ghat, and I ate some mutti, some dirt. And Mata, when the boys told her about it, I got in big trouble. So now what will happen if the boys go and tell mother that I've been eating fire? I'll get in really big trouble. So for this reason, Krishna told the boys, close your eyes. Krishna was thinking to himself that if the boys see me swallowing this forest fire, they won't be able to tolerate it. So Krishna told them all, you close your eyes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that he gives a story. He says that some say that Krishna was thirsty. And the forest fire was both afraid and incapable of going against Krishna's will, that forest fire turned itself into a very cool and tasty drink. And the forest fire became a little drop on Krishna's lotus hand, and Krishna drank that and got some pleasure from it. So this point is a very deep point. If we contemplate on it, it offers us another perspective on this pastime. The forest fire, which represents sectarianism, can also be pleasing to Krishna. Sectarianism can both be something which separates the devotees from the Lord, separates the devotees from Braj, separates us from our bhajan, and something which is pleasing to Krishna. How can sectarianism be pleasing to Krishna? In Madhyalila chapter 13 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes the Rath Yatra festival and how all the different devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were going to Jagannath Puri to take part in that festival. It's very interesting if you study the Bengali in that chapter. Srila Prabhupada once said that, he says in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that devotees who really want to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita, they should learn Bengali. It's not enough just to read the translation, even Srila Prabhupada's translations. That was Srila Prabhupada's comment. And it's interesting because if you study that section, there's a word used 11 times, which is sampradaya. The word sampradaya is used 11 times. It's used to indicate the followers of Mukunda. It's used to indicate the followers of Advaitacharya. It's used to indicate the followers of many, many different devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada translates it each time as group. There were so many different groups. It's not a bad thing. This is a kind of good sectarianism. We should be very niche to our Gurudev. So two things are there which require maturity on our part. We need to be very niche to our Gurudev, and we shouldn't... at the same time, we shouldn't be sectarian. We should be close with our Gurudev, but at the same time, we shouldn't be critical of other Vaishnavas, other devotees. We give the example sometimes of a 4 or 5 year old child, and the parents tell the little boy, stay inside the yard, don't go outside the fence. The child says, why not? The parents say, what are they going to say? That this person may carry you away in their car, they may poison you, they may run you over. They just say, because everybody outside the fence is bad. Oh, okay. And then the little child stands inside the fence, and when people walk by the yard, the child shakes his finger at him. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. And everybody laughs. It's very sweet. But the same child is a 40-year-old man standing inside the yard. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. It's sick.
Yes.
So both things are required. We should be nisha to our Gurudev. If we're not nisha to our Gurudev, and being nisha to our Gurudev means being nisha, being very fixed, and our Gurudev's seva sangha. We can call ISKCON an institution. For some people it's an institution. For some people, Krishna appears like death personified. For some people, Krishna appears as a Paramatma in the heart. For some people, Krishna appears in so many different forms. And similarly, ISKCON will appear in so many different ways to different persons. But I suggest we should see ISKCON as a Seva Sangha of our Gurudev and of Srila Prabhupada. And we should be very fixed in that. Some people, they say, but there's problems here. Just like, what if there's problems in your family? Maybe you belong to a family and your father's a drunkard. Your mother, she's cheating on your father, some other men. Your little brother's become a heroin addict. And your sister's become pregnant by a Muslim boy. You have a lot of problems in your family. And then you see this other family across the street, and everything's very nice there. So you decide, I don't like this family anymore. I'm going to go to that family. You can't do that. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, this is your family. I remember some years ago, we were just speaking very frankly with friends, because this is something we should speak frankly about, because this happens to us sometimes. One very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who left ISKCON years ago, somehow he likes me, he invited me one day for lunch in his ashram. And we were taking prasadam, and this devotee had left ISKCON many years ago. And he started preaching to me all these bad things about ISKCON. ISKCON has this problem and this problem. And it was very difficult to say anything for two reasons. One of which is he's a very powerful person. Practically nobody can argue with him. Second reason is that a lot of the things he was saying were true. It was very difficult to argue with. So I was just quiet for a long time. I didn't say anything. And he went on and on. And finally he told me, he said, "So, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, Maharaj, it's like Kurukshetra." And he said, "Kurukshetra, what do you mean?" And I told him, this is Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother. He once commented how, at the end of his life, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to go to Kurukshetra. And some people said, "What? You want to go to Kurukshetra? Man, you want to go to Radhakund. You want to go to Vamsivat. You want to go to the Jamuna. You want to go to Govardhan. You don't want to go to Kurukshetra." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "They're virus Sikh. They don't understand rasa." Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a very rasic reason to go to Kurukshetra. Because Radharani's need was the greatest there. There's no Vamsivat, there's no Govardhan Hill, no Jamuna River there in Kurukshetra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a very dear servant to Srimati Radharani, therefore wanted to run there to assist her. So I told Maharaj, I said, "So that service which is the most needed is the most appreciated, and that's why I stay in ISKCON. It's a very good opportunity. Not that we have so many problems. And in this yatra, actually, you're very, very fortunate. This is really one of the best yatras I've seen in the world. You have very little problems, and the devotees are very simple, and they're very absorbed in your bhajan. You don't have very many forest fires in the form of useless quarrels going on and dividing devotees and wasting our time from our bhajan here." So, if we see problems in this society, and of course there'll be problems sometimes, those problems should be more impetus for us to stay and be faithful. I'll get more mercy. I'll get more blessings. I have faith in Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's a very real, very powerful person. If there's problems, Prabhupada will be pleased if I stay and try to help. In New York City, there was a GBC man there, and he got married to one lady, a Japanese lady, who told everyone that she was the heir to the Toyota car fortune. You may know this story. And they gave her some very special position, and everybody was practically worshiping her like a demigod. And one day there was a knock on the door to the temple, and some devotee went there, and there was a person with a box in his hand of fried chicken, and to deliver some fried chicken. And suddenly that lady came running past the devotee, took the box, and, "Thank you very much," told the devotee, "go away," and ran up the steps. And at one point, some say that they were offering eggs to the deities. Some devotees became very disturbed. And they said, "We can't tolerate this." And they left the temple. And other devotees said, "Well, anyway, there are authorities. What can we do?" When Srila Prabhupada came back, he chastised both groups of devotees. He told the devotees who stayed, "How can he be so stupid to just blindly follow these people when they're doing some nonsense like this? We should have a brain. It's not just because someone's our authority, they tell us to do some nonsense thing, that we should do it. That's not pleasing for Srila Prabhupada." So Prabhupada chastised them. And he chastised the devotees who left. "Why did you leave? Why didn't you stay and solve this problem?" So this forest fire is a test for us. To see how dedicated we are to the mission of our Gurudev. And this forest fire represents these two things. It represents sectarianism, which is a great obstacle to devotion. And the forest fire represents a nice cooling drink that Krishna got some pleasure from, which we can understand in the form of Guru Nishtha, being fixed in service to our Gurudev. This is required. It's required that we become mature. In the beginning, when someone's a 4 or 5 year old child, they can't understand anything sophisticated or complex about the outside world. We just tell them everybody's bad. Our team is the best team. Why? Because we belong in this city. It's our team. We tell people things like that. And even new people sometimes in ISKCON, we tell them ISKCON is the best. And ISKCON is the best. It's the best for me because this is the Seva Sangha of my Gurudev. But there are other Vaishnava communities also. And Srila Prabhupada said there are many, he says in Nectar Devotion, we were just reading that statement, Prabhupada said there are many different, there are many societies and associations of pure devotees, and if some of this little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement in pure devotional service is rapid. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada writes in another place, among Vaishnavas there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity. But despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna conscious movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna conscious movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. So, Prabhupada writes this in his purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the purpose of our society. We want to establish Krishna consciousness. And if we see Krishna consciousness being established, we should be very happy about that. But at the same time, we should be nisya to our Gurudev. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Mukunda. And the devotees, they asked Mahaprabhu, what did he do? And Mahaprabhu replied, Prabhu bole o beta je kona jata jai she mata kota kahi toi tai mishai Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He says that this fellow, wherever he goes, he mixes with everybody there. And he says, yes, I'm part of your group. And therefore, I don't want to see his face. Many times we think, oh, but you shouldn't be sectarian, Prabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one place he says that the nature of the Kanishta Adhikari is, he thinks only the Uttam is a real devotee. Because the Uttam respects everyone and doesn't make any distinction. And he gets very disturbed by the Madhyama Adhikari, who makes distinctions and who may chastise some people, who may neglect some people, practicing upeksha and stay away from them. He says, you're not a real devotee, man. You got a problem. You should be more broad-minded and just love everybody and just go everywhere. And what's the problem? It sounds very nice in some ways. We should respect everybody. But it's not that we go everywhere. Sometimes for our service, for our research work, our publications, we've gone and visited different Vaishnavas and different groups at Radhakund and in Jagannath Puri and Navadweep and different places. And I found an interesting thing. Wherever you go, all those Mahants and Babajis and Maharajas, they all tell their followers, don't go outside. Don't go other places. And it's not because they're sectarian. It's because they care about their disciples. And because they want the disciples to become nishtha to their Gurudev. So this requires some maturity. We should be nisha to our Gurudev, very fixed in his service. I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't care how many problems there are in my family. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to help solve the problems. But at the same time, I should be respectful to all other different Vaishnavas, all other different devotees of God. It's like going on Govardhan Parikrama. I give that example sometimes. When you go on Govardhan Parikrama, you see people, they're offering obeisances to every sadhu they see. And there's sadhus with big red tilak and skinny tilak and no tilak and Shiva tilak and bindis in the middle of their head. They offer obeisances to all the sadhus. They offer obeisances to all the cows. They offer obeisances to the deer. They offer obeisances to the dogs and to the pigs and every single living entity because they're Govardhan. But they don't sit down and inquire philosophically from them. But we offer respects to them. We love them. We're very happy. We're very happy if we see anyone who's a devotee. Sometimes we were doing book distribution in the airport in Los Angeles. There were some fanatical Christians who would try to stop us. And they learned that they could go and start arguing with the devotee and they could take a whole lot of your time, like a few hours or something. You'd waste your time arguing with them. And we had this problem quite often. And I learned to recognize them. You'd be standing out there, and all of a sudden somebody would come up to you. That was a very rare thing. for someone to approach you. And they would come up to you a little bit nervous, you could tell, and they'd say, "Have you heard the word of God? Or have you heard of Jesus?" And I would always do the same thing. I learned after a while. I'd say, "Are you a Christian?" Really happy. And they'd always do the same thing. They'd take two steps backwards. "Yeah?" And I say, "Really? It's so nice to meet a man of God out here. I can't tell you." And I would give them a hug. I would say, "I've met so many atheists, so many nasty people. Just to meet a man of God out here is such a good thing. And I want to give you something here." And I would just give them a flower from my pocket, because they won't take prasadam or a book or something. And then they would always do the same thing. They get this really confused look on their face, and they turn around and walk away. And I didn't waste my time. And I felt very happy because I gave them respect from my heart. A genuine respect. I was so happy to meet somebody who believed in God and had so much conviction that they wanted to come and talk to me. I don't want to waste my time with them. They're not broad-minded enough to be able to have a discussion. But let me respect them. Let me love them. And by that love and affection, they're defeated. We don't have to have useless quarrels and debates and all these nonsense things. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about this in his commentary on Upadeshamrita. He says, debate arises only from a desire for conquest. This is why you do debate. "I want to defeat that guy, man." Bhaktivinoda says it's extremely abominable. Fault finding arises only from imposing one's own bad habits on others. That's a really profound statement. Fault finding arises only from imposing your bad habits on others. That's why you start finding fault with people, because you see some bad quality in them, which is actually your bad quality. That's why you can see it, because it belongs to you. Bhaktivinoda says this should be given up in all respects. He says that the living entity's proper discretion is eternally established in his natural intelligence. But he says that by arguing about directions, places, mistakes, and illusions, the heart becomes tough. And then that natural discretion no longer remains there. This is the nature of the forest fire. When you start getting involved in useless quarrels, then you become separated from Krishna. You become separated from your good intelligence. Excuse me. Bhaktivinoda says again, useless arguments arise from envy or pride, aversion or attachment to sense gratification, or foolishness or self-pride. These are the causes of useless arguments. Envy, pride, aversion, or attachment to sense gratification, foolishness, or self-pride. He says some people also become intoxicated by useless arguments. While discussing topics of the Lord and his devotees, a practicing devotee should always be careful to avoid useless arguments, because it's like a forest fire. And the forest fire is going to destroy everything. It'll destroy Braj. It'll destroy this wonderful temple we've built. It'll destroy this wonderful sangha we have. This forest fire in the form of useless quarrel. It'll destroy our sangha. We won't have time then to speak about Krishna. And we'll start thinking it more important to fault find and try to correct his terrible chocolate eating habit. And arguing about things which are really not very important. Prabhupada ate chocolate sometimes. So we should be careful to avoid this obstacle in our bhakti, this obstacle which is there to prevent us from going to our eternal home of Vrindavan, this obstacle which keeps people from coming to Krishna, which keeps people from coming to this Krishna conscious movement. I'd like to stop. But before I do, I want to read a statement to you from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about sectarianism. This is something that he says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. "To be controlled by prejudice causes many problems." When you have some prejudice, means I like this thing, I don't like that thing. If you're controlled by that, causes many problems. From prejudice arises partiality. From partiality comes disrespect for truth. I like this thing more than that thing. And because I'm attached to that, I'm more attached to the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. Our Acharyas are described as three types of discussions. In the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, what's the first? What is it? Vada, Jalpa, and Vitanda. Vada is a discussion. She's very helpful. Vada is a discussion in the mode of goodness. And that discussion is characterized by both participants just want to know the truth. And they don't mind. You can defeat me. It's okay. I'll accept because I'd like to know the truth. That's a very beneficial discussion. In a Jalpa discussion, it's characterized by the mode of passion. One or both participants just want to be heard. Should listen to me. I know about that. I've got a lot to say about everything. And in the Vitanda discussion, in the mode of ignorance, one or both participants don't care about the truth. They just want to win at any cost, and they'll say any damn thing. And Jiva Goswami in Pratisandarbha, he says we shouldn't waste our time with Jalpa and Vitanda discussions. We want to have Vada discussions. Vada discussions means with devotees based on Krishna Katha. So Bhaktivinoda, he goes on to say, very interesting thing, wearing the signs of a Vaishnav is one of the methods of cultivating devotion involving the body. Okay, we wear, we have tilak, we have kunti mala, we wear dhoti or sari. That helps us to cultivate devotion by our body. He says, but to think that those signs are the distinguishing characteristic of a Vaishnav is a prejudice arising from sectarianism. Only devotees are people who wear tilak and kunti mala. If they don't wear tilak or kunti mala, they're not a devotee. Controlled by such false beliefs, a person may not respect a real Vaishnav who's not wearing those marks. Someone may be a great devotee, and they may not be wearing those marks. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living in Jagannath Puri, and for many years he was giving classes. Many people were coming. Bhaktivinoda wasn't wearing any tilak, and he wasn't wearing any kunti mala. And there was one very senior Vaishnav in Jagannath Puri who started criticizing him. He said, what kind of Vaishnav is this? If you're a Vaishnav, you should wear tilak, you should wear kunti mala. Why is he not wearing that? And later Bhaktivinoda told him, he said, because I haven't accepted Guru. How can I wear those things unless I've accepted Guru? In our movement, many devotees wear those things even before they've accepted Guru because it's very purifying to do. But sometimes some Vaishnavas, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, didn't wear those signs. So we shouldn't criticize. Bhaktivinoda goes on to say, if a devotee has such prejudice, he cannot find good association within his own organization. He won't venture to find good association elsewhere. So we find this sometimes in our own movement. We have little groups within our society. Now, I'm the follower of Gorgavinda Maharaj, and you're the follower of this Maharaj and that Maharaj, and we have our little groups. And due to sectarianism, maybe you're not able to take advantage of good association with someone because they're not in your group. They're not initiated by your Gurudev. They're in a different group. But what is the problem with that? I have my family. I have two brothers. They're not vegetarians. But they're my brothers. And I love them. And we're friends. But I can tell you very honestly, I'm much closer friends with many of the devotees here than I am with my brothers. I'm closer with many devotees who are initiated by other gurus than I may be my own godbrothers. It's a natural thing. We should want to befriend people by their qualities, not just by some sectarian thing because this is my Gurudev's Sangha. Whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one article, Amar Guru Jagat Guru, my Gurudev is great, and your Gurudev, well, better luck next time. This is a kind of sectarianism and foolishness. Krishna appears as Guru to so many different people. And wherever that happens, we should appreciate, we should respect that. And if someone has strong faith in their Christian tradition, or their Jewish tradition, or their Muslim tradition, we have no problem. In Kiev, the devotees, in Ukraine, the devotees were doing Harinam one day. And there was a priest, an Orthodox Christian priest, standing there watching the kirtan. These Orthodox Christian priests, I'm very sorry to say, many of them are very inimical to the devotees. And sometimes they've even paid money to people to come and beat the devotees and attack them, and very disturbing. This priest was watching what's going on. And finally a devotee came by and said, "Here, you should take a book." He said, "Okay." Took the book. He went home. He started reading it. A few days later, he came to the temple, dressed in his priestly robes. "I'd like to know more about this." The devotees started preaching to him. He started coming regularly and chanting Hare Krishna on beads, chanting in the kirtan. Eventually, he got initiated. But he never wore a dhoti and a kurta. He always wore his Christian robes. And he continued with his role as being a priest in the Orthodox Church. He was giving sermons and whatever, doing like that. And one day, there was some pain in his body. They went to the doctor. The doctor ran some tests. The doctor came back a little later and he said, "I have some bad news for you. You only have 2 weeks to live. You have a very terrible cancer in your body." So immediately he went to the temple and he said, "I'm going to die. Can I stay here?" And he was there at the temple, lying in bed with all the devotees doing kirtan around him when he left his body. As far as I know, he still had his Christian robes on. Because Srila Prabhupada said, in our movement, it's non-sectarian. We don't care. We really don't care. If you're an Orthodox Christian priest, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Catholic, if you're a Hindu, if you're this or that, there's room for everybody in this movement. That should be our mood. So we should be very, very careful to avoid sectarianism. This movement is meant for everyone. But if we introduce sectarianism, then we may make a nice little club which we're very comfortable with, but it won't be relevant for the majority of people all over the world. This movement, we have a responsibility to follow Srila Prabhupada's mood of a non-sectarian society in which anyone can join, irregardless of their religious affiliation or belief, and they can take part in this society. If we do this, then we'll please Srila Prabhupada. And we'll be able to go deeper in our bhajan because we won't be distracted by these meaningless, useless arguments in the form of so many forest fires. So many forest fires going on today. Okay? We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, samaveda bhaktavinda ki, go premanandi hari hari go, vancha kapaladubhischa, kipasindubhyevacha, patitanam pavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo, namo namaha. It's a little late, and I'm afraid some of you have to go to work tomorrow or something. If you need to work tomorrow, you need to go, please go ahead. But if there's anybody who'd like to ask any questions, if you have some comments or something, please feel free to speak up. Sometimes when people are quiet, it's like you're having a big feast, like we had a very wonderful feast today, and everybody becomes very quiet. And the prasadam is very, very nice. Then everybody becomes quiet because, wow. And you're just trying to digest it. So I hope everybody's just trying to digest something and you're not angry with me or something. So any comments or questions or anything? Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. So thank you for coming to today's program. The Nectarian classes of His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu. So we'd like to thank Madhavananda Prabhu for teaching us how to avoid